Good morning, church. I think I'm on. All right. I'm going to open up with prayer, but I know we've already received good word and everything. So just thank God for just continuing to let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct. So Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this amazing time of fellowship, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just using the vessels for how you want to use us, Lord, so that we can minister to your people, Lord, that they will know, Lord, your truth and your word, Lord, and that it would be manifested in our lives, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, to continue to lead, guide, and direct. Thank you, Lord, for just letting everyone receive and get what they need, and just continue to believe and praise you and to carry it with them as they walk with you, Lord, individually as well as collectively, Lord. So we just praise you and we honor you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's always an honor to be here. In this pulpit. I did not realize that maybe five verses was going to be packed with so much rich text. So I did a lot of writing. Hopefully I'll be able to get through. Just bear with me. I just thank God for letting him use me the way that he fed this to me and that it will be delivered in a way that he's going to feed it to you and you're going to be able to take what you need to take from it as well. So let's just start by going to the book of Acts 12, verses 6 through 11. Okay. And just to give it a little opening, Acts is what the King James referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. But I also see it as this is the Acts of God, because the apostles could not have done anything without God. Amen. So just get ready to act up in your life, that God's going to act up in your life. Yep, I said it. God's going to act up in your life. So thank God for just moving. So I'm going to go ahead and read chapter 12. Verses 6 through 11. Can it turn me down a little bit? Just a little feedback. Yeah, thank you. All right. Here we go. And when Herod was about to bring him out the night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." All right, so amen. Just thank God for the blessings and the reading of his word. There's a few parts in this passage. I did not realize that God was going to take me in so much digging and researching. So what I want to do is extrapolate from this story and focus on the text. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit will encourage and renew and inspire you and empower you, that you can come into all that God has for you, accomplish and become all that God would have you to be on earth. So let me give you a little background. We are in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. So that means that the church as we know it today does not exist. It is in its embryonic stages of development. It's not seen as a massive global movement as of right now. It's seen as a collection of denominations and philosophical ideologies that embrace a particular theology that causes us to have a certain degree of continuity. The church is so small and so new compared to other religions that among circles it's debated that whether it may be a cult. In fact, they don't even really have a name for it. They're referring to it as the Way. The Antiochers referring to it as Christians, and Christians didn't necessarily mean in a positive manner. It wasn't a good name to be. So they would refer to them as those crazy Christians, you know. So that's just to kind of give a little background to where we are. And although the church was small, we should not diminish or trivialize the ability of its potency because God was in it. You must understand that God's getting into the small stuff, controversial stuff, but he looms large in small places. Amen. And just because other people minimize, minimize what you do or what you mean, it doesn't mean that God's presence is not available in your life. You have to know the work, the good work that God began in you. And just know for certain that he got it, and it's all under control. So, also want to point out that to really dive into the perspective of where we are or where Peter is at this moment in time. The church exists inside of two different sociological constructs at this time. While it's not in the world, it is of the world. So we shouldn't claim autonomy from the church to the degree that we completely ignore what's going on in the world, because what's going on in the world affects the church. It's not just the church that affects the world, but it's also the world that affects the church. Just like a seed that's planted and affected by the soil or the environment that it's planted in. The soil, in like manner, the church in the world, and yet not of the world, but it's infected by the world. So just keep in mind that right now, this is a lot of different constructs that's happening, and there's also a lot of different oppressions that we need to kind of look at to be able to understand the position that Peter is in and the uphill battle that he's fighting, and that God is going to just show his act on Peter's life. So again, just kind of digging into the background of the situation that's occurring. I want to highlight that Rome at this time is a sovereign power. It's dominating the Jewish community or Israel. And then at the same time, you have the Roman power that is dominating the Jewish community, but then you have the church, which is a subset of the Jewish community. And it's Peter, the church, is actually fighting for people that don't even want to believe or understand what they're doing or what they're about. So I just really want to point out and just give that piece of background that he's really at a complete disadvantage at this time, because he is the rock. Jesus said that he was the rock, and that on the rock his church will be built. So this is what Peter has been ordained to represent. So I know it's a lot of information, but I just wanted to kind of, you know, point that out. Let me find my notes, though. Find my place in my notes. All right. So, thank you. And another thing, you know that in the scripture it was saying that there are 16 soldiers that's guarding Peter. You know that you're important by the level of attack. I don't even think that Jesus was guarded by 16 soldiers, at least I don't even think it was that many soldiers that was guarding Jesus. So you know that this was a very, very crucial and critical moment in this time, and then even this uphill battle of oppression with all of the different sovereign powers that was going against the church. But perhaps it was because Peter had a bad reputation. You know, Peter was he wasn't a passive disciple. You know, he was water walking Peter. He was pull out a sword and cut off an ear, Peter. So he wasn't a wimp. He was, I guess you could say, he was a bad boy. But in this situation, he was in the prison. He was guarded by two prisoners. And that's the thing in life. You know you are special. You know that God is leading your life when there are two soldiers that's guarding Peter, and their only role and only place is to keep him in that place. So it doesn't matter what the enemy or what the demons that are assigned to your life, this is a perfect example to show you that nothing can keep you down. But one thing about Peter is that although he was bad, and although he had a ride or die reputation, and he had your back, it seems like he had the energy and he had the zeal to fight or to stand up when he was surrounded by his comrades. At this place, now the people that the crowds and where he's drawing his energy from are now like in a house, probably praying at Mary's house. They're thinking, oh, he's about to be next. He's about to be beheaded. So long, Peter, you know. But they're praying for him. So you got to keep in mind that although the enemy is working hard, there's also prayer warriors that's praying for Peter. Amen. Although I try to put myself in the mind of Peter, what he was probably thinking at this time. He probably felt like, I saw my mentor, he's gone. Right before me, another disciple was gone, beheaded. So maybe this is the end for me. That level of uncertainty creates anxiety. And that's not what God wants us to be. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to, the same energy that we draw from people and we draw from our families and our church, he wants that energy when you're not in the crowds, when you're at home by yourself, or you're in your isolation, solemn time. You should still reflect that same zeal, that same energy. So again, the crowd is gone, it's dissipated, and everyone's shut up in Mary's house praying for him. Everyone's unsure of what is about to go down. They're like, Peter's gone. It really shows that Peter was really tired because of the eve right before he's about to be beheaded. He is sleeping, and he's sleeping with 16 guards, and he's sleeping with two soldiers on each side of him, and he's resting. He's made himself comfortable in a very uncomfortable situation. Very uncomfortable. How many of you have ever been tired? I'm not gonna say that you're tired now, but you just get tired. But like I said before, Jesus is the rock. But he was a tired rock. So you can be strong, you can be steadfast, you can be girded in the truth, girded in the word, but you can get tired. And how you get tired, you know, you people build on you. You know, they just know you strong like that. They just know you wired like that. But that weight begins to corrode your youthful vitality. It it puts a lot of burden on you. And that's where Peter was. Peter was sleeping like he was in a resort. Like he wasn't about to, I don't know, I feel like if I was about to be beheaded, I'm gonna use me for example. No one's gonna sleep in that prison. I'm gonna be like, nobody knows. I'm gonna wake everybody up. You're not going to sleep when you're about to behead me. It's gonna be a very uncomfortable night. But no, he's asleep. He's resting. He's not even saying anything. And even when the angel of the Lord, I'm not giving Peter credit, I'm not giving angel credit, I'm not giving even the guards credit. But even when the angel of the Lord came, those soldiers are right beside him. The angel said, get up. But that's how God does. Even when your enemies and your haters, when God is talking to you, God is talking to you. Even when your enemies and your haters are right beside you, they're not going to hear what God has for you. But you got to be ready to get up. You got to be ready to get up. You got to be ready that when those chains fall off, you go. Now, the situation with Peter is that he didn't know if this was reality or if this was a vision or if this was fantasy. And that's somehow how we are. We know and believe that God is moving in our life. Yes. I mean, correct that. We believe and have faith that God is working in our life. But it's a knowing that you have to have. Yes. You have to know that God is working in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's the situation here. When Peter was so quiet, even he was the person that was about it all the time. He was the person that was telling God, I'll never betray you. He always talked. But now all of a sudden, he doesn't have anything to say. He's not speaking. So he's walking through, the angel is guiding him, but he is following. But at the same time, he's waking up. And that's the situation. The same way we go to sleep in stages, we wake up in stages. So he's waking up in stages. And that's how we are about God. We're waking up in stages. Instead of just being steadfast and knowing, it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. We walk by faith, not by sight. But the thing about this story is that until Peter woke up, or until you wake up, nothing in your life is going to ever change. You think you're waiting on God, but God is really waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Like I said, he thought that he was seeing a vision. He didn't know if he was dreaming or if it's reality, but they both collided. And that's how we have to just stand fast. And when God comes to rescue us, wake up. Get up. Another thing I like about this is that the last gate that they went through, they pointed out that it was iron. But they went through like different levels of guards. Have you ever walked past someone or came or someone that hurt you or wanted to try to kill you? You just walk right past them? He was walking past the people, just walking past, that were assigned to kill him. And God was just walking them out. And that's what God do for us. Yeah. He protects us. Yeah. He walks us out. Even past the people that wanted harm to us, that wanted to hurt us. He just walks us out. But at the same time, we're still thinking as we're walking out, because the angel could have killed all those guards. But as we're walking out, we're still thinking we're in bondage. We're still thinking we have chains on us. Because if we really knew that we were free, we would run. We would take off. I knew I would take off. You ever saw like on, I love TikTok. But on TikTok, there's this situation where there's just people running. And then somebody see the person running, they just start running too. If I've been tied up in chains and they just drop, and it dropped right when these soldiers are like right here, they sleep too because they're going to get in a lot of trouble. Everybody sleep. And God just walking them out and get to the gate. I refuse to lay down and forget and not comprehend everything that God is doing for me and will do in my life. I thank God for showing me how to take steps to do the things that I know He can deliver me from. I know that I can cut back on food. I know that I can go into the gym when I need to get into the gym. I know I don't have to do this. I don't have to gossip. I don't have to refuse to hear His calling. So I take back my vitality. Because just like Peter, although we're tired, we are rocks. We are strong. We are being rescued. We are being saved by God. And the thing is, Peter didn't even have to do anything. All he needed to do was come into the knowing that he was no longer in chains. And you also have to speak. He didn't speak. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything because he didn't quite know what was happening. I'm going to go to that, the last verse. Verse 11. It said, chapter 12, verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people." It took him to go through all those guards, the angel to leave. But that's exactly how we are. You're like, "God, help me, Jesus. You ain't been smoking for 20 years. I'm quitting. I'm gonna get over this." You're already done. It's already healed. But, you know, that's what I like about this passage. I have so much respect for Peter now. I like Peter because Peter is an example of how we take for granted the freedom that we walk into with God. So I want to end on this by just you knowing that this is your moment. This is your moment to thank God, to continue to lead God and direct you, and to walk in your power, walk in your freedom, and just know that you are not chained. And I just want to end by thanking God and just give a praise offering to Him right now. Everybody just thank you. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for using me as your vessel, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will take Acts 12, verses 6 through 11, Lord, and let everyone go back and see what you would have them to see in this passage, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word, Lord, is so authoritative, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you can read the Bible 100 times and get something different out of it that is applied to your life through the Holy Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as you have blessed this service. that you will continue to bless the lives of everyone that's under my voice, that can hear my voice. I thank you, Lord, for just anything that anyone is struggling with, or anything that anyone is being held down or feel like they're in bondage for. We thank you, Lord, that right now those chains have been broken, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we walk in your prosperity. We walk in your abundance. We walk in your love. We walk in your light. And we thank you, Lord, that all you want us to do is acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that we're able to praise you. We get to praise you. We get to love you. We get to be loved by you. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord. And we just praise you and we glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.